Well, let's turn to Psalm 37. I think the passage tonight is one of my favorites in the book of Psalms. Psalm 37, verses 3 to 7. If you'll follow along in your Bible, it says this: "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for another portion of your word. Give us understanding of your word. Help us to live it out in our lives in the coming days. And oh, how blessed we will be as we live in accordance with your word. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 37 was written from a wealth of experience on the part of the psalmist. We know this from verse 25. Where the psalmist says, "I have been young and now I am old." He writes about what he has learned in life. And what we have before us contains some of the great lessons and some of the great promises and how to live life the way the Lord wants us to. Now, our text of Scripture, as you may have noticed, contains two very different dispositions in life. On the one hand, we can rest in the Lord. We can trust in the Lord. But on the other hand, there are people who fret. There are people who become angry, who become agitated, who become troubled in life. And the problem with the difference is not so much without as it is within. It's how we respond. It's how we take things. It's how we are trusting in the Lord or not trusting in the Lord. And I want to think for a moment about people who become fretful, people who become fearful, people who get angry and upset. Why is it that we become that way? You know, sometimes people get upset and fretful because they're not getting something that they want in life. They see somebody else having it all, but they don't have it. They don't have what they want. And they become angry and they become upset that they're not getting it and they're not getting what they want in life. And I tell you, the object of your desire says a whole lot about you. We're going to see in this text of Scripture that we are to delight ourselves in the Lord. But what about those who delight themselves in the things of this world and delight themselves even in the sinful pleasures of life? You know what's going to happen? A lot of times they're not going to get what they desire. They're not going to have what they desire. And even when they get what they desire, after a while, they don't desire it like they used to. You know, it's kind of like certain things in life, your sweets, your sugar. You know, we want our sweets. We want our sugar fix, you know. And the thing is that as soon as you satisfy that craving, you find yourself wanting more. You want more. and you want more. And it seems like there's no satisfying that craving for sugar, or someone that starts off smoking some marijuana, you know, and after a while they kind of like the feeling, and they, you know, it's, huh? Never done it. But you know, you get the taste of marijuana, and you kind of like the feeling. But you know, a lot of people after a while, it's not enough, and they move on to harder drugs instead. And you know, we're going to see from Psalm 37 how to really be content, how to be peaceful in life, and not being fretful and angry in life. And let's look at what we need to do to have a radically different disposition from so many people in this world today. The first thing we need to do, if we're not going to be fretful and angry, but instead be peaceful and content, we need to trust in the Lord. Psalm 37 verse 3 gives a series of commands that I think we certainly need to be obeying. And the first is this: trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. Don't be putting your trust in other things, but trust in the Lord. That is the secret of contentment. He is the one that will meet your needs. He is the one who will satisfy the real longings of your heart. Look to the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. And then he says in verse 3, and do good. I believe it promotes tranquility and peace in your life if you do good instead of doing evil. I just quoted last week from Isaiah 48 verse 22, where the Lord says, there is no peace for the wicked. If you do what is evil, if you do what is wrong, you're going to reap what you sow. And you are not going to sow peace, but you're going to sow trouble. But if you do good, then you are going to have peace in your life. You're going to have contentment in your life. And then he goes on to say in verse 3, dwell in the land. Dwell in the land. There again, people that are not at peace, the people who are restless oftentimes are not content with what God has given them. And they're always got to have something else. The grass is greener on the other side. And he says, dwell in the land, dwell where the Lord has placed you. And I really like what he says in the last verse 3, and feed on his faithfulness. That word translated feed is a shepherding term, describing a shepherd feeding the flock. And it says here, feed on his faithfulness. God is faithful. He is trustworthy. You can count on him to do what he says he will do. And one thing he says he will do is provide for us. Feed on his faithfulness, he says there. Oh, if we'll just do verse 3, we'll go a long way toward a life of contentment, a life of peace. Then he says in verse 4, the second requirement is to delight in the Lord. He says there, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You know, if you look up the Strong's Concordance of this word delight, you'll find that on three occasions it refers to a man who takes delight in a feminine, delicate woman. And so just, men, remember those days when you first met your beloved one, and as you asked her to marry her because you took delight in her, and how you longed to for that day when you would be married and you took such delight in her in the early days of your marriage. And we hope you still, of course, take delight in her. But that's the language that's used here in verse 4. But what the Bible does, not just here but elsewhere, is that same delight that we have in our wife or in our husband or in our children or in our grandchildren, that we delight in the Lord, as it says there in verse 4. The question for us is, what do you delight in? I mean, really, what do you really delight in life? Oh, there's a lot of people that delight in worldly amusements. They delight in the material things of life. They even delight in the sinful pleasures of life. But we are to delight in the Lord. And how can we tell that we delight in the Lord? Well, you know, if you're not interested in reading God's Word, you probably don't delight in the Lord. If you're not interested in spending time praying to the Lord every day, you probably don't delight in the Lord. If you're not interested in coming and singing praises to the Lord with God's people, you probably don't delight in the Lord. And I can give you another test. If you were to be told that it won't be long before you're going to die, you know, none of us wants to die, and we certainly don't want to leave our family members behind. But you know, if you delight in the Lord, it won't be the worst thing that's ever said to you, because you know that you are about to go to heaven and to spend eternity with the Lord. Do you delight in the Lord? That's the commandment. Those that delight in the Lord have a radically different perspective and disposition in life from those who delight in the things of this world and the sins of the world. Let me share with you three benefits of delighting in the Lord based on this text of Scripture. First of all, based on the context, if you delight in the Lord, that will be a cure for the unrest and the discontentment and the fretting and the anger that's spoken of here in Psalm 37. Instead of fretting and be it the unrestful spirit, you will delight in the Lord and He will be the joy of your life. You will find that what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33 is true. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You won't be worrying and fretting about, you know, whether you're going to have what you really need in life. If you delight in the Lord, if you seek Him first in your life, you will be at peace knowing that God is going to take care of you. A second benefit of delighting in the Lord is that it will help you to know God's will. You know, it's not so hard to discover God's will if you desire to do it. And, you know, Jesus said in John 7:17, if anyone wants to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God. If you delight in the Lord, you're going to delight in the will of God, doing His will, and you're going to be in a much better position to know God's will in your life. In Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, Paul says there that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice and that we are not to be conformed to this world. And anyone that does those things, Paul says in the last of verse 2, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And finally, if you delight in the Lord, notice the promise it says in the last of verse 4. and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You know, there's several reasons why that's true, that he will give you the desires of your heart. If you delight in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Someone who delights in you, isn't your heart going to be open to them and to want to give them the desires of their heart? But you know, to delight in the Lord is going to put you in a position to where what you desire will be granted because you desire the right things. If you delight in the Lord is the desire of your heart. And to you will be granted to know the Lord much deeper and much more intimately than the average person. The Scripture says, Jesus said, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." If you delight in the Lord, you're going to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And the Lord says, "You shall be filled. You shall be satisfied." We need to be careful not to make verse 4 mean that we're going to have the worldly and material desires of our heart. The Lord may grant those, but that's not what we're most interested in. If we delight in the Lord, we're most interested in God and the things of the Lord. And God is going to give us the desires of our heart. And so, trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. And then verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. If you want to avoid being fretful and agitated and fearful in life, you need to commit your way to the Lord and trust also in Him. That word translated commit literally means to roll upon. It kind of gives the picture of you carrying a burden and you roll that burden on someone who is stronger than you, who can help you carry that burden. It reminds me of what Peter said in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all of your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. And so we are to roll our concerns, our problems onto the Lord. And it says to commit your way to the Lord and trust also in Him. Now here we see what our concern is about. As he says there, commit and trust your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. You see, in life, life is full of decisions, isn't it? Which way shall I go? Shall I go this way or that way? Shall I do this or shall I do that? Well, commit your way to the Lord and trust also in Him. You know, life has some big decisions in life, aren't there? You know, certainly a decision to give your heart to Christ and repentance of sin, and a decision as to who you're going to marry, and decisions about what your life's vocation is going to be, and decisions about, as some of you have made, when are you going to retire? You know, big decisions in life. Life is full of big decisions, and certainly when it comes to the big decisions in life, you're going to be a lot more at peace about these decisions if you say, "Lord, I'm committing this to You. I'm committing this decision to You. You are all wise. You are all knowing. You know what is best. And I'm going to trust You in making this decision." But you know, I don't think we should do this just for the big decisions of life. I think we should constantly be trusting the Lord committing our way unto the Lord. You know, so much of our life is affected by our decisions, and we need to make right decisions each and every day. We are to commit our way unto the Lord. You know, I think if we're going to do that, we need to die to our own way. Die to self. We need to pray like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but your will be done. I can assure you that God's way and God's leading is far better than our own way. But notice the promise that we have here in verse 5. He says, commit your way to the Lord and trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring it to pass. You know, the future can be daunting, it's uncertain, it can be fearful. But yet as we commit our way to the Lord, as we trust in Him, He will lead us in the right path. He will do what is best. You know, a piece of work in the hand of a young apprentice. You turn it over to this young apprentice, and how well is this young apprentice going to do? Well, oftentimes not so well with whatever he's making. But yet you turn that same project over to an experienced craftsman, you can have confidence that the finished product is just going to be great. Well, listen, God is not a young apprentice. He is the master. And if you'll just commit your way to the Lord, if you'll just commit the decisions of life over to the Lord, you can count on God to do the right thing and to lead you in the right way. Have you ever watched an artist at work? I'm talking about especially at the very beginning. You know, at the beginning there's some outline there and there's some blotches of paint here and there. And at first it looks like yuck, you know. And you might want to criticize him for how his work looks, but hold on, just wait. Let the master continue his work. And then by the time it's all over, it is a beautiful masterpiece. And you know, when God is at work in our lives, sometimes we just see at the moment what doesn't look so good. But yet if we just trust in the Lord and commit our way unto Him, we can count on Him to do what Romans 8:28 says, that God works all things together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. But I want to skip on over to verse 7 and see one more requirement for a peaceful, tranquil life. And that is to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Now, how many of us do that? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Well, what does it mean to rest in the Lord? The literal meaning, and it's translated this way most of the time, is to be silent. And if you look in the context, especially what follows in verse 7 and verse 8, where he talks about fretting and he talks about being angry, do you see the contrast between resting in the Lord, being silent in the Lord, and fretting and get angry? What happens when we fret? What happens when we get angry? We start venting. We start complaining. We start murmuring. And so here's the contrast here. Someone who has enough faith and trust in God to be silent before the Lord and say, you know, I'm just trusting in the Lord. I'm just counting in the Lord in this situation to work things out for my good, to lead me in the right way. Be silent. Trust in the Lord. Again, have you ever been in a situation where you're working on a project and someone comes up from behind you and starts looking over your shoulder and inspecting how you're doing your job? That can be kind of uncomfortable, especially when they start complaining about, you know, and questioning how you're doing your particular job. Or have you ever had a backseat driver? You know, you're driving and somebody in the back seat is telling you how to drive and telling you what you ought to be doing and what so forth and so on. You know, sometimes we do that with God. You know, I mean, God's at work. He calls upon us to trust in Him, to commit our way to Him. And at the moment, we don't like the way things are going and how things are happening, and we get upset and we get angry and we get fretful and we start complaining to the Lord, you know, and start singing, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen." And, you know, we just get all upset. And the psalmist says, be silent, relax, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Or it can be translated, wait expectantly upon Him. And I like that translation a little bit better because, again, we may not see how God is going to work things out. And we can't see up close by what's happening. But as we trust in the Lord and commit our way to the Lord, and as we're silent before the Lord with trust in our heart, we are expectant as to what God is going to do. I think as we prayed this morning, we should have and did pray with expectancy. We're just waiting to see what God is going to do. You know, now maybe in the short run, there's going to be a lot more difficult days ahead for Christian and his family. But yet, we're expecting. And we're waiting to see what God is going to do. And that's the picture we have here in verse 7. And so, instead of fretting, instead of becoming agitated, instead of becoming angry when every desire isn't fulfilled and everything doesn't go just the way you want it to go, we are called upon here to trust in the Lord, to delight in the Lord, to commit our way to the Lord, to rest in the Lord. And that is the secret of tranquility and peace and contentment in life. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we thank You that You are a big God. You're all-knowing. You're omnipotent. You're all-wise. Lord, forgive us when we, with such a finite and inexperienced perspective, sometimes question Your ways and are discontent and we complain and we don't trust in You. We don't delight ourselves in You. We don't commit our way unto You. We don't rest in You. Lord, forgive us for the times when we've been fretful and worried and agitated and angry in life. Lord, help us to take to heart these wonderful scripture verses that we shared tonight and help us to apply it to our lives the coming weeks and months and years that You give us. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.